Live from the birthday suite at the Bunny Ranch, it's Shenanigans. This week we have Rich.
Why would that be the live from?
Because it's our birthday this week.
But the Bunny Ranch?
Free lap dances for birthday boys. And Alan.
Hello, everybody.
Nobody tell my wife.
Okay. She's the one who suggested it, though.
Somehow I doubt that.
I told you that story, haven't I, about getting kicked out of the strip club?
Finish the intro.
Okay. I'm Craig, and joining us remotely through the ether world is Walden. And he won't say anything.
Hello.
Yay! Walden!
I figure if I'm not there, I got to let you know I haven't hung up yet.
Right. There you go.
Yet? Or this could actually just be a recording of you saying that you're there.
We have a recording of him. When he comes back into studio, that's going to be our live from. Live from, and then the whole 27-second loop.
I think it's fantastic loop.
Now he's never coming back.
Oh, you no, we'll make him that. Come back. We'll make him come back. There's blue cheese here for you and beer.
Walden, I'm drinking alone now. I cracked a Guinness open.
Enjoy, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
So anyway, yes, it is birthday week in the Shenanigans Studios because two of us have birthdays, and we're both going to be 40 and some months old.
And I'm the only one drinking.
December birthdays.
Somebody's got to celebrate.
Right. December birthdays are the worst. The closer you get to Christmas, the worse they get. But I told my daughter yesterday, she was talking about her birthday, which is in December. I go, kid, you have the second worst birthday in the calendar year. And she goes, why? What's the first worst? And I go, Christmas Day. Because you lose out on everything.
Other than being born the same day of Jesus.
We can debate that.
I know it didn't happen because it happened at a different time, more
right,
in the summer, I know.
Yeah. Yo Saturnalia.
Yes. No debate.
And so
you guys are getting too fucking highbrow. This is Shenanigans.
Her birthday is December 30th. And she goes, well, why is that bad? I go, because people are still recovering from Christmas and they're preparing for New Year's Eve. They don't want to fucking do anything
right.
on the 30th. And then to add more fuel to how shitty the December 30th birthday is, the six-month birthday, which so if you celebrate it, and it's 4th of July weekend.
Oh.
Yeah. So
now, see, Christmas Eve is also a really bad birthday. I would go so far as to argue it's worse than being born on Christmas because people are already celebrating and getting together on Christmas Day. So you can get kind of lost in the shuffle. Your birthday can get kind of lost in the shuffle. But on Christmas Eve, everybody's fucking busy. Nobody's coming over on Christmas Eve for your birthday because they're all getting ready for Christmas the next day.
Right. And, you know, and it's a problem being born on Christmas Eve because you have the lowest tenured nurses attending to you because it's a holiday. So you're like, nurses will give you the greatest care that they can.
You're getting the doctor that didn't have enough seniority to cook
right.
Christmas on.
I think they just had an episode on Scrubs like that. I've been watching Scrubs on Netflix.
I love like that. It's back on Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh,
or is it Prime?
Either one. I have both.
Yeah. I think it's Netflix.
It's always been available to stream somewhere, and it's an NBC show, so Peacock is going to take it back.
Oh, then I got to watch them now. I love it. It's a great show.
Why do we always wind up talking about streaming services? Although I have to say, I've been looking at the HBO Max. Boy, they got fucking everything.
If you get HBO Max, let me know so I can come to your house on the nights that Doctor Who airs because it's going to be through HBO Max.
Did you say Doctor Who cares?
No, I said Doctor Who.
But this is the Doctor Who reboot, right? Because he can watch Doctor Who on Pluto.
All of the Doctor Who's are reboots.
Oh. Yes, except for the first one. William Hartnell's not a reboot. He's the original.
No, he was a reboot too.
But it's on Pluto, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there's a Doctor Who channel.
You're not a Doctor Who fan?
No.
You're not a Whovian? Isn't your daughter?
No, my son was watching it for a while.
Okay. All the
I
new
don't
stuff,
think
not the
daughter
old stuff.
Ever. She was into Sherlock.
Okay. The one with Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yeah. British guy funny.
Yes. I fell asleep during those episodes because they're like 95 minutes long. Like, okay, we can get to it already.
Yeah, I got it in my queue, but I've never watched any of it. And she doesn't.
I watched three episodes, worst 7 hours of my life.
It's
worse than a Grateful Dead song.
She doesn't watch any of the other Sherlock stuff. She just watched it because it's got British guy funny name and The other guy, Martin
Scorsese.
No, you.
Sheehan.
Feldman.
Freeman.
I was close with Feldman.
Yeah, you got it. You got the F.
All right.
And the man.
You'd have been closer with Morgan Freeman.
How about the Sherlock with Lucy Liu? Is that Elementary or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Yes. No, she's not interested. She's read a bunch of the Sherlock Holmes books.
Anyway, so I knew a woman slightly older than we are who went through the whole change, the addictomy and everything. That
what's the opposite of that called?
I don't know.
I don't listen to
Woodchopper
Limbaugh, but
I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh.
He is the one that made that. He popularized the addictomy, and there is
I've been seeing it since like our high school days.
There's an opposite. It's an ectomy, and I can't remember what the fuck it was. And I looked it up online, and
penectomy?
I can't find it.
Penectomy? I don't know.
It's an addictomy, and it's like a pussyectomy or something like that, where they reverse it. But I can't remember.
Vegectomy?
He's also the one that introduced me to, I'm a cunning linguist and a master debater. Yeah. Fucking great. Completely inappropriate for a conservative talk show host.
So anyway, this person who transitioned now has a better beard than you do. It's amazing.
My beard's not so hot.
Does it look like a dude?
Totally.
But that's drug-induced.
Always has his shirt open beard. Down to about here with his chest hair coming out of it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we could get those kinds of testosterone fucking supplements, we could have hair like that too.
Except on the top of our head, because too much testosterone makes you go bald.
No, there's one for that now too.
Is there really?
Yeah. It's like the same shit that they sell you, the Proja whatever. Fuck.
Wait, back the bus is up a second. So I can get something to help
my
hair grow?
It's too late for you.
Oh.
You have to massage. You have to be a phrenologist. Get the blood flowing back in.
It reinvigorates the hair follicles that you have. So if you're already smooth, you don't have hair follicles anymore. They're dead. I still have hair follicles. I can thicken.
How about if you put yourself on a blanket and raise yourself up into a lightning storm?
No.
Now, with bolts on my neck.
You got to talk to Cy Sperling. Because Cy Sperling takes the hair off the back of your head and puts it on the top of your head.
Oh, yeah.
Those don't fall out.
There's a garbage bag up in the attic that has stuffed animals and stuff in it. My one daughter's been missing her favorite stuffy for about 8 years. I'm pretty sure it's in that bag, but they haven't finished cleaning up the room enough for me to get that bag back out.
I don't want it anymore.
Wow.
That's a strict parent right there.
My daughter was probably 8 or 9 years old. She got her birthday, all kinds of new toys. And every time my son would try to play with them, who's 4 years younger, two years younger, she would throw a fit because he's touching her stuff. And I said, you just got new toys. He's playing with the toys that you aren't actively playing with right now. He's not doing anything wrong with them. He's using them appropriately. He's not whipping them across the room or anything. He's not breaking anything. So let him play with your toy. And she's like, no, I don't have to. It's my toy. I said, you're going to share with your brother or I'm going to take away all the toys. And you're not going to get to play with any of them. And she didn't even hesitate. She's like, I'm never letting him play with my toys ever. Like, okay. And I bagged them all up, and for a week, she didn't get brand new toys that she opened yesterday. And my wife came home from work, and my daughter's beside herself. And Tammy's like, what the fuck did you do? I said, I took away your birthday. She won't share with her brother, then she doesn't get them either. It was a big deal for us a couple of years after that. But every once in a while, I throw it back at her face. I'm like, you're going to share with your brother.
She learned the lesson.
Oh yeah. She learned what dad's capable of.
That's good.
He's a heartless bastard. By the time you finish hacking, this is going to be Swiss cheese.
I know.
No continuity whatsoever.
Can I tell you guys about my hunting experience this weekend?
Do it.
So I've never hunted. Let's start with that.
You got in your hunting license for several years, but no one ever invites you.
No one ever invited me. So
did
I got
you
invited this
yourself?
Time. I kind of invited myself. I alluded to the fact that I wanted to go hunting. So I wormed my way into a piece of property a friend of mine's got, and it's not a huge piece of property. He's got like five
people
acres.
People at Walmart were pissed when you brought the shotgun yeah. in to grab the steak.
Dude, I'm an awesome hunter.
Comes prepackaged.
Yes. $4.99 a pound.
Well, then I'm an excellent fisherman.
Yeah. I hang a steak in a tree and act like I'm cutting it up. But
mine come pre-Reddit.
I go through. I'm there at, you know, the guy knows his property, so we wanted to hunt early in the morning. So I get there about 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning, and he's like, all right, I'm going to get here to start things off, but show up at like 8 o'clock. So I get there at 8 o'clock, and he already has a deer. He already got a buck. So he's already feeling good about himself. So the number one thing in hunting is you got to be quiet, but I'm all excited because this is my first time. And there's a buck. It's like, holy crap, dude, that's awesome. Look at how beautiful that is. It's a beautiful, good buck. So I go to it, and I'm just kind of watching him as he's de-gutting it or gutting it and everything.
Field dressing,
so,
yeah.
As he's dressing it. So now he has, I go in, I got a ski jacket on and some black ski pants. He's like, dude, you got to wear camo. So he had a pair of camo overalls for me. So I
and
go
orange.
Through.
You need some orange.
Yeah, I have the orange vest.
Okay.
But so I get the camo bib, you know, the long pants with the bib. So I go through and I put that thing on. Now it's 8 a.m. Got to be quiet, all the stuff. As soon as I put the bib on.
He's singing show tunes.
I'm singing show tunes. I actually go through and I got to put my boots back on and I got to put the camo pants over my boots. And as soon as I bend over to do that, I still got my keys in my pocket. So now my truck horn just starts 8 a.m. And I just kind of look at him and he's smirking. I'm like, that's probably bad, right? He's like, yeah, I'll take you to a tree. He's like, you can go sit in a tree if you want. But I didn't get anything.
Did you even see a deer?
The deer were safe that day.
Would you please go sit in a tree?
Yeah.
So you didn't Dick Cheney your friend accidentally?
No, I don't think he wouldn't even be in the woods with me because as soon as that happened and I had a shotgun in my hand, he just kind of separated us pretty far apart.
Well, you know, strategically, you could use that to your advantage. You could get a distance away from the truck and set the alarm off, and that would help drive the deer toward you.
That's people do that. They actually go through with groups of guys and they flush them out.
Well, yeah.
So that's what I was trying to do.
Is, you don't start at the truck, though.
But yeah, I think that's where my fatal flaw was.
So you're going to try it again?
I was going to go there again, but then I called him and said, can I just kind of go and use your property? Because I know he was working that day. And he sounded less than happy for me to go there. He was scared for me, actually. He's like, look, you can use it. He's like, but I'm just, like, do you have a something to bring to pull the gun up with when you get on the tree stand? I was like, no, I'm just going to carry it up there, you know? So he's like, he's getting me, like, all scared, like, to go in there and do this. I was going to go in there and, well, do you have a red lamp? Because you have to have a red lamp on your head because deer can't see a red lamp. So if I were to wear, like, a white lamp or a white flashlight, they can see that. They can see that. So you got to have all these things. So, and I don't know how to field dress a deer. So I was just like, you know what?
And don't wear the red lamp around bulls.
No, that would be bad.
Different season.
Andre Rieu has a great thing on one of his Austrian big symphony orchestras that he does. He's got a girl in the audience wearing a red dress, and then they got a big bull that's chasing her. Great thing. You got to watch him. He's funny. But anyways, that's my story is just that. I don't know how to hunt, and I'm not going to go back out, and I'm going to do like these guys suggest and get my stuff for $3.99 a pound.
Well, that's how everybody's first deer hunting experience goes. They fuck it up and they, you know, trip and shoot the ground or some bullshit.
My nephews went hunting, their twins, and they must have been the first year they could go hunting. And my one nephew, Jason, gets a deer that is about the same size as a German Shepherd. He told me he accidentally shot the neighbor's dog. Said, I'm not eating that meat. Well, because I told him he always has to bring me some of the burger because my mom will make meatballs for spaghetti, and I go, I don't want anything from that deer.
That's, well, all that's left is burger.
I was on the YouTube going under Hunting 101, and there was like a 12-part series on things you should do and how to do it, and they keep saying, like, in the first, if it's your first time hunting, and they say that you can shoot anything, if it's brown, knock it down. That's kind of their little slogan. So my buddy was telling me the same thing. He's like, dude, look, I don't care if it's a fawn, I don't care if it's a small, don't look at the size, just kill something. And I'm like, well, no, if I see a little fawn coming by, I'm not going to kill a fawn, you know? And he's like, well, you got your gun sighted in, don't you? And I'm like, well, it's, yeah, kind of.
It's got a sight on it.
It doesn't even have a sight on it. Turns out what I have is a bird gun. So it's a nice Ithaca shotgun, but it's a 12 gauge, but it's more of a bird gun. But I did have the rifled slug. So I was smart enough to know that I needed the rifled slug so it can actually throw like a spiral.
Oh, you don't mean the bird gun like on the Flintstones where it's a bird shaped like a gun.
But that would be awesome.
It goes,
So
you're all set for pheasant.
I'm all set for if I do something like that. So now when I talk to him about actually using his property, he's telling me how he's like, I think fishing is probably going to be better suited for you.
With my bird gun?
Yeah. This isn't a classic Ithaca shotgun. It was made in Ithaca, New York. They don't even make those in Ithaca anymore. It's a classic.
How do you fish? Do you have a fishing pole or do you throw dynamite in the water?
Dude, I use my...
That's not a knife.
Roman candles, again. I'm an excellent fisherman. I go fishing. I got my kayaks. I catch some big fish when I'm in those things. So I can fish.
You're drinking a beer right now.
It's just a hunt. Yeah. I caught a fish this big.
You're drinking a beer, and it's cold outside. You're practically ice fishing.
I want to do that. I did tell the guy I wanted to go ice fishing. We can make that happen.
Oh, don't do it. Unless you have one of those ice houses that they sit on the lake in.
That's what he's got. He says he's out there in a T-shirt because they got a stove.
That's
got to
be
like a wood stove in there.
Because I've done regular ice fishing, and
where you're sitting on a 5 gallon bucket,
does it suck.
Yeah, so I wouldn't like that. I think what they got the huts, I'd go on a hut because then you get some big.
My cousin has a
15-pound walleye,
but he's in Wisconsin and they get monster fish up there.
See, that would be sweet. Get me some big old walleye. But yeah, the fishing I'll stick to, the hunting. Maybe not. There's a couple more days, and I think we got another week or 10 days left in shotgun season. So
when's black powder? Is it afterwards?
I think that one's before.
Yeah.
I know bow season is before.
Because it's bow? Then maybe black powder, but I don't
remember.
They're both before shotgun.
I forget. Okay. I think so. I think the shotgun pretty much finishes it up, right?
I haven't hunted since I was 12 years old. It went out once.
Did you get anything?
No. I wasn't even allowed to carry a gun. First time out, you go without a gun. You're the pusher. Because that's just how my family rolls.
Prison rules.
No, no. Prison rules. No, the first time you go out, you help push the deer, and they get us lined up and walk in the same direction. And there's a guy at the end when the deer run past, when you push the deer toward him.
He's at the ready.
He runs past them, and he shoots the deer, and then everybody shares in the kill. And they'll successfully get several deer a year that way and split it among themselves.
So you didn't get any deer that first day?
No.
So you fucked up the thrush.
I don't know about that. Nobody got anything. I wasn't going to jump on the fucking thing myself in spirit or something.
That would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
And nearly impossible.
Don't shoot.
Walden, did you go out too when you were 12 years old and hunt?
Not really. I went out once and pushed, and I never went for my classes or anything like that.
Oh, so yeah. You don't hunt at all?
No. Meat comes on styrofoam wrapped in cellophane.
Yeah,
that's true. Truer words were never spoken.
Now it comes from Restaurant Depot wrapped in plastic and goes in the smoker.
I am not a hunter, but I have fished and eaten what I've caught.
Yeah.
And I have shot a rabbit and cooked that and eaten that also. Once.
I think I would, I wouldn't just kill something to kill it. I think that's kind of an asshole move.
Right.
But
I don't like fishing. I don't like fish.
I love fishing. Ugh. People aren't near you at all. You're by yourself.
You're out in the sun. There's nothing better to do.
I'm going
to
be going to Greece, New York for some nice big old perch. You get not these little ones around here, man. There's a spot in Greece that you can go to and you're pulling up 1.5 pound perch, you know, things like that. Those will be nice.
I don't like salmon.
And they, like, you know, I'm not a salmon guy either.
But this is the place.
Yeah.
What is it? Don't they have a smelt festival or something like that in Lewiston? It's a terrible little fish, but everyone loves it.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it's a smelt festival, it'll be in Depew.
Brum-ching.
I think Depew and Lancaster should switch names. You got to be local to get that reference.
So speaking of hunting, Czech police are seeking help in an unusual case after a deer turned the tables on hunters and snagged a pursuer's rifle on his antlers before running away.
Fuck, that was a real segue.
The same guy lost his
left behind.
The same guy lost his laptop at a beach earlier this summer. Rich. The deer, frightened by a dog, ran toward one of the hunting party, tore his sleeve, and caught a strap of a .22 Hornet rifle on his antlers, police said on Tuesday. The rifle, which the deer had slung over his left arm, fortunately without ammo, slipped on the deer's antlers and disappeared with him. Thank God it was unloaded, because all I can think of is the Bugs Bunny cartoon when Toro the bull gets the gun. Every time he slaps his tail on the ground, the gun fires.
Yeah, the deer would just be whacking it against a tree to shoot it.
Yep. Police said another hunter later spotted the deer about half a mile away, still carrying the gun.
No, it wasn't half a mile. It's a kilometry.
Yeah, 0.6 miles. Half a mile away.
Whatever that means.
The hunter searched the forest but did not find the gun. He had no other choice than to report the incident to the police, adding, anyone who finds the weapon should contact authorities.
That's got to be embarrassing as hell.
Maybe my horn story wasn't that bad. I didn't get my weapon stolen by the prey.
We didn't see nothing is better than it stole my gun.
Right. I feel a lot better about myself right now.
It fucking disarmed me.
That's funny.
Speaking of funny, you guys remember Animaniacs?
I love that cartoon.
They're back.
Are they really?
Yes. And apparently they're up to their old shenanigans. They got canceled originally.
Is that the one that is Gerard Depardieu?
What?
They would say, what's his name? Gerard Depardieu? They would call him Gerard Depardieu or something like that?
That is the one, actually.
That's likely.
Okay. Yes.
The show was always notorious for slipping in some adult humor. Mm-hmm. Like, hello, nurse!
Right.
Well, apparently they took things a little further this time. Seems they worked in a advertisement for the Brain. Pinky and the Brain are always trying to take over the world.
Right.
So the Brain puts out an advertisement for world domination with a phone number. Turns out that phone number goes to a real sex line. So,
do you want to be dominated or do you want to dominate?
The episode contained a real-life phone number, which turned out to be a sex hotline. So the episode is likely being edited to include a fake number now.
That's funny.
I'm trying to think of some of the other ones they put in there before. You don't always catch stuff right off the bat. The thing I always loved about the show was the songs they would come up with that were educational. Like, they do one that's just the capital, every capital of the states. And my joke is always, what's the capital of Arizona? It's A, you know. They give they go through the actual state capitals and make it into a song. The parts of the body, there's a ton of them. And teachers are actually using this stuff in classes.
I hope they aren't using the Brain's advertisements.
Not this time that I know of.
They already had another complaint against them because they're poking fun at Johnny Depp. Which is, I thought that's what you did to Johnny Depp. You make fun of him.
He's in those commercials for cologne now. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's who I think of when I think of cologne is Johnny Depp.
He has to wear cologne because he doesn't shower.
He needs money, man. They booted him out of the Pirates franchise.
And he self-exiled himself from the Fantastic Beasts franchise.
Really?
Yeah, he quit.
And the guy goes through. He's
$20,000 a month in wine.
That's what I'm going to say. I was just going to say that. Just hundreds of thousands of dollars the guy spent on wine and things
and
like that.
And gets the shit kicked out of him by an ex-wife regularly.
The guy's just a nutcase.
He should call Lionel Rich's attorney.
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
Oh, I don't know the whole look. That's the part I know. But I was ready to belt it out.
We have spoken about strange city names before, and we've talked about the Austrian village of fucking, which is not how they pronounce it, I guess.
Fuking.
Yeah. The long-suffering residents of the small Austrian village of fucking
Fuking
have confirmed that from January 1st, the town will be known as Fuggen.
Which is so much better.
Right.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Fans of unusual place names will mourn the loss. The small Austrian village of fucking will get rid of the unfortunate name that has seen a Fuking brisk tourism trade and frequent thefts of the town sign, the town council announced Thursday. The mayor told Austrian broadcaster that the name would be changed to Fuggen,
Fuging,
January 1st, 2021. The small community in Upper Austria of around 100 people has been pushing for a name change for years. The name of the town, which lies north of Salzburg near the German border, has no meaning in German. Then why do they have so many Germans?
So many Fuging Germans.
Right.
Now, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that wasn't the word, F-U-C-K, originally an acronym?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of
little urban myths.
Yes.
Because I heard,
talking about Van Halen right now? Because
Well, no, but somebody said that it meant
Eddie Van Halen is no rocket scientist.
He's not. He's
and
dead.
Have you met David Lee Roth? Or have you ever seen David Lee Roth?
He's a genius.
Yeah, he's Jimmy Kimmel's show when he knocked himself out. That's beautiful.
There's horrible stories about him, too.
Jimmy Kimmel?
David Lee. But yeah, Jimmy Kimmel, too.
You saw that, right? With David Lee Roth knocking himself out?
No.
How about Walden?
Nope. Missed that one.
He threw the mic stand into the air, and he was trying to catch it. Totally missed. And hit himself right square in the face with a mic stand.
In his defense, he was drunk.
No shit.
And afterwards, he couldn't see because he broke his nose.
Are you making fun of him because he's Jewish now?
Wait a minute. David Lee Roth's Jewish?
Roth?
Yeah. I don't know. Short for Rothstein.
Stein.
Rothstein.
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 Is he Arnold Rothstein's long...
niece.
Lost. Yeah. Great, great grandson.
Not anymore. He did wear very tight pants, though.
He did. But that was the look back then. Might as well jump.
All right. So no more fucking in Germany.
Last year, some local residents used the unusual name to help their activities. By example, by putting signs above and below the sign to read messages like, "Our climate is fucking important."
What are those people in Thailand going to do? They can change their name, too, from Fuck It?
It's Phuket.
It's just an airport.
The town has been known as fucking for about 1,000 years. How awful is it that millennials have ruined this 1,000-year tradition?
There are other nearby hamlets called Oberfucking and Unterfunking. That's over and under. Depends on your preference.
But surprisingly, small population.
Not an Oberfucking. They're overpopulated. Underfucking, though. Almost nobody there. Far less popular. Almost no tourism whatsoever.
In other news from around the world, a Japanese town deploys a monster wolf.
What could possibly go wrong?
To deter wild bears.
It's a robot wolf.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Would they be hungry like a wolf, though?
Great song. Is it Duran Duran?
Yeah.
Hungry like the wolf.
The Real Big Fish cover is much better. It always
no is. One has ever said uttered that phrase, the Real Big Fish cover is better.
No, you're wrong. I say it all the fucking time.
All I know is, I'm lost and I'm found.
A Japanese town has deployed robot wolves to scare off bears that have become an increasingly dangerous nuisance in the countryside.
Now what are they going to do to catch the robot wolves?
Right. Rain.
Its only natural enemy is precipitation.
The town of Takakawa on the northern island of Hokkaido purchased and installed a pair of the robots after bears were found roaming neighborhoods in September. City officials said there were been no bear encounters since. Bear sightings are at a 5-year high, mostly in rural areas in western and northern Japan.
But now the wolves are terrorizing the town.
Yes.
Fucking Skynet.
Thanks, Obama.
The robot called Monster Wolf consists of a shaggy body and 4 legs, a blonde mane, and fierce red glowing eyes. So the cougar at the bar.
Yeah. I'm going to say, it sounds remarkably like my ex-girlfriend. A little less hairy, though.
Coincidentally, I didn't see a single bear while we were dating.
When its motion detectors are activated, it moves its head, flashes lights, and emits 60 different sounds ranging from wolfish howling to machinery noises.
That is my ex-girlfriend.
I bet she can make more than 60 sounds.
The real Japanese wolf roamed the central and northern islands of the country before being hunted to extinction. So don't hunt the bears to extinction, because at some point you're going to need bears to save you from the bees.
I heard that these were actually reassembled parts from BattleBots.
Oh, that would be awesome. Parts fall off every time it's activated. There's got to be a trebuchet in there someplace.
Those fucking buzzsaw blades that come flying out of the top. Cuts the bear in half.
And packs it for you. For home delivery.
Yeah, it's one way to field dress a bear, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, is this next thing a true thing?
I was just looking. It's on BBC News, so it must be.
It's got
to
be.
Jay-Z is to be a new cannabis company's chief visionary officer, but he has to squint a lot in the bright sunlight.
I figured Snoop would have been a little bit more of a...
natural choice.
Natural choice for that. Less money.
Right.
He's probably already got his own company.
U.S. rapper and entrepreneur Jay-Z has been named chief visionary officer of a major new cannabis company. Cannabis is legal in several U.S. states, including California, where it is now a big business. Jay-Z will guide the brand's strategy and enlist other leading artists and entertainers to promote the business. He will also lead its investments in black and minority-owned cannabis firms and its initiatives to rectify the wrongs done when the drug was illegal.
Rectify.
The company said it would include working towards meaningful change in the criminal justice system and helping people convicted of cannabis-related offenses with training and job placements. That's one of the things I have to ask. If they legalize pot in New York State, do the people who are in prison under pot violations, are their records then?
They have expunged? To review each one case by case.
Okay.
Always on a case-by-case basis. That's a very political answer.
I know I posted this link, but I can't help but think this is just another rapper selling weed.
Right.
I actually just went through and Googled. Snoop Dogg actually does have his own strand. It's a 70% indica dominant hybrid strain that is said to contain genetics from lemon OG and sour diesel.
But all I can say
is it's got nice lemon notes.
I've never smoked pot, but I know people who have, and they have said that if you've never smoked pot before and you're thinking what it was like back in the 90s when we were coming of age and try to smoke pot now, it'll knock you on your ass because it's become such a huge business that they, you know, the genetic engineering of these marijuana plants to get you the best pot out there.
Craig, I tried it a couple times. Like when I was in high school, once or twice I tried smoking weed. And I'm like, and back then you would have to take a big hit and then hold it in to try and catch a little bit of a buzz. And that was never my thing. I didn't like it. So again, a handful of times I tried that. So now fast forward 30 years, a friend of mine comes over to my house last year to string a guitar for me. So he comes over and he's like, Al, do you
partake?
He's like, do you smoke? And I'm like, well, once in a while. I mean, if I have a drink, I maybe have a cigarette or something like that. And then he's like, no, do you? And he looks from side to side and he does the little roach clip thing, smoke. And I'm like, well, hell yeah, I smoke, bro. Because I got my street credibility to worry about, you know? So I'm hoping he's not going to even say anything. I just figured he's going to ask and then that was it. He's like, because I got some stuff. And I'm like, ah, crap. So now I'm trying to backpedal. And I'm like, man, I know I haven't had this stuff in so long. And he's like, well, just take a little baby hit. So I'm thinking, all right, whatever, I'll try it.
He asked you to hit a baby? That's not okay. Take a little baby hit, but in your mind you're going, I can still do this.
I can probably do it, but I couldn't do it before, you know? So for me to know that how potent this stuff is, so I took I didn't even inhale it all the way. I took one little hit and blew it out as fast as it came in, and then it came around, and he's like, oh, here's another one.
Died.
In and out. I was legally blind and deaf for about 2.5 hours. It was unbelievable. I hated it. If my house caught on fire, I would have died. You know, they're looking at me. My arms felt like they were concrete. I couldn't move. And all I kept remembering him saying
he's laughing at you.
He's kind of laughing, but he's concerned. He's like, dude, are you okay? Like, are you? I couldn't even answer him. I could not speak. I literally could not speak to him. You know, it was an unpleasant experience. So, I would never, ever even try smoking weed again.
That happened to me in the 90s.
Really?
Yeah.
With that stuff we had back then, or did they lace it with some stuff for you?
No, it was just the
stuff. It was just that much.
But it was
the quantity.
A bunch of us were getting together after work.
Well, you're a musician, so.
No, I was a line cook.
Oh, okay.
Same thing.
So a bunch of us got together after work, passed a joint around. And this stuff wasn't laced, but it was like really high quality stuff. And I could not speak. We were watching a hockey game, actually. And everybody else.
He actually liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was what it was going on. That's all. But a bunch of us were sitting on one of those couches that has a 90 degree angle. And it probably sat 10, 15 people. And there were probably 7 or 8 of us there watching the hockey game, shooting shit, having a drink. And I could not speak. People were like, how you feeling, Rich? I just looked at him and nodded.
Yeah. Like,
you okay? Like,
mm-hmm.
Is that all you're going to say? And I just kept nodding. And they're like, can you say something else? And I just shook my head, no. And I could not. I'm thinking, oh, man, they got a couple of drinks back there. Maybe I should go get at least a cola or something. And I couldn't get up. I couldn't move.
It's the worst, right?
It was a blast. I had a
you
great
liked
night.
It. I didn't like
I just
it.
Had the worst cotton mouth.
I hated it. I didn't like it. So it's not even for me. I'm just afraid. I'm afraid where I can't move. I mean, I'm a drinker. I like my booze. Booze or beers or wine, especially. I love wine. I can have that. Anything else, I'm not a pill guy. I think I could take like two or three.
You're a big fan of Spiel the Wine, aren't you?
Spiel the Wine. That was a good show, but I don't.
It was on last night. I was watching the news last night.
I don't get it anymore because I don't have it on cable.
It's on every Sunday.
Yeah, and Saturday.
Okay. Maybe it's Saturday.
I was thinking about doing my own show. I was thinking about doing my own cooking show and getting it on, doing it on LCTV and do something.
See, now you can do one on edibles.
Yeah.
What about edibles? What's your take on edibles?
They sound like a great idea. You get the cannabis and you don't have to inhale any smoke.
That was, again, something I did when I did a stand-up show at the Palace. I went through and I had a few drinks, and then a friend of mine said, here, take one of these. I just figured it was, I didn't even pay attention really what it was. It was a piece of chocolate.
Please tell me this isn't sugar-free Haribo.
Yeah. I was supposed to, Craig.
I can't move, and I have to move, and I can't move.
I was supposed to do a six-minute set just to open up for people. I was on the stage for 26 minutes. Just twisted out of my gourd. I remember showing people my ass and just being stupid. It was unbelievably horrible.
Who'd you open for? I think I remember this.
Rob Lederman.
I was there.
Were you?
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
I had
Rob
a couple
Lederman
good jokes, but it was
on stage
bad.
Multiple times.
You and then Rob was just kind of thinks I'm a dickhead now, you know, because he was years ago. I came back from New York after doing some shows, and one of my things I think I told you before, if I was at a comedy show, I would write down what the comedian's name was and what their shtick was. So when I run in, I would say, Rob, hey, great bit. I loved your bit on Tim Hortons coffee, you know, roll up the rim or whatever. But he saw me writing stuff down.
He
and
thought you were stealing stuff.
Thinks I'm out stealing stuff. And I'm like, was never my game. I just like being able to talk to people, because I told you I did that with David Tell. I mean, so many people that I knew in New York, and I would always talk to them and follow up with that
stuff.
You
know David Tell?
Yeah. Dave Attell. In fact, I knew.
Why
I worked,
is Dave Attell not here right now?
Dave Attell, when I did Stand Up New York in a New York comedy club, Dave was, and Stand Up New York was my home club. So Dave Attell was there, and he always liked me. So I would do my bits, and I only did the opening shows, the opening sets, like the 7 and 9, and then the real comedians would come on at 9. So I would see him a number of times just to say hello, how are you, I'd buy him a drink, and I'd leave. So now I fly out to L.A., and I'm at a comedy club called Funny Bone for my, Pauly Shore's mother owns that. So when I was there, my cousin was getting married. So I go up to the table and I see Dave Attell, Dave Chappelle, Pauly Shore. I want to say Kevin Nealon was there, but I go up to the table.
Kevin Nealon, wildly underrated as a comedian.
I think he's funny.
Yeah.
As a stand-up too. I mean, I do like him. He bummed a cigarette from me in New York when I was down in the village. Like, hey, you got to get a cigarette from me? I was like, yeah, sure.
Not unless you suggested to me subliminally.
Yeah. But when I was in New York, when I was in California, I just told the guys, hey, can you give my cousin a little bit about getting married? Where I'm here for a weekend. So I go out into California. This is when California first started making everything smoke-free. So I would go outside to smoke a cigarette, and then Kevin Nealon comes out to me. He's looking at me. He's like, can I get a cigarette? I'm like, yeah. Give him a cigarette, and he's looking at me. He's like, I know you. He's like, stand up New York. And I'm like, yeah, what's up, Kevin? How are you? Dave, what's up? He's like, please tell me you're still doing comedy. Please tell me. And I says, nah, it's been a long time since I've done it. He's like, dude, he's like, you were funnier than shit. He's like, when you got on stage, people loved you. And then we just talked for a brief minute. And then he said, but you know what I remember about you most, and what everybody really remembered about you and liked you? He's like, you weren't like these suck asses that would come in and just hold on to us and just try to hang on our coattails. He's like, you came in, you said hello, you bought a drink, and then you would leave. He's like, and we all thought that was fantastic because you weren't being a suck up, like a freshman hanging out with a senior. But he remembered me, so that made me kind of feel good.
I never thought Rob Lederman was very funny, though.
And he, you know what? He's got great comic timing. He's got great stage presence.
He was at the Apple Grove. My parents got tickets, so they invited Wendy and I to go. And unfortunately, we have a table closest to his little raised area where he was doing his stand-up from. So that meant that we were the butt of all his jokes. And he was really kind of mean about it. I mean, there's something.
You deserve it, though.
Yeah. No, fuck you. But he wasn't, there was nothing playful about the comedy he was doing when he was calling us out
mean.
On things. He's definitely mean.
Well, listen to this. When I was doing a stand-up show, and I mean, I was obviously twisted, you know, and I feel bad because my mother knew I was, she's like, I don't know what you were on, but she was just embarrassed too. And that's not how I wanted that night to go. So, Mom, if you ever do listen to this, I'm sorry. But
and stop that. Don't listen to this.
I talked to Rob beforehand, and I says, Rob, look, and it was like an unwritten rule if you're doing comedy, you don't talk about cancer or death and things like that. So I asked Rob, I said, Rob, look, in your opinion, I said, I want to open up and say this as my opening line. Ladies and gentlemen, my mother's here tonight. I said, and I'm gonna use one letter to describe her, and it's the C word. And then he's like, and I said, and cancer-free. Because she just went through chemo and all that, so I want to go through and say cancer-free. He's like, no, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. You can't say that stuff. And I said, okay. So I go out, and I don't listen to him, and I say that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna say my mother, you know, do you see where to describe her? Somebody in the crowd did just say, cunt, which was bad. But no, I said, no. I said the C word. I says cancer-free, and then the place erupted. They're like, oh, and they're all laughing and screaming and clapping and stuff.
And Rob hated it.
No. You know what he did? Because he had that same thing the following year. He used that.
Really?
He used that to talk about his mother, and he talked about it. So he talks about not stealing stuff and not talking about the stuff. And then there he goes, and he describes his mother as cancer-free. And then everybody goes, yay, yay. But when I was there, there was about 1,100 people there when I did that show. When he did it the following year, there was, like what they normally get, 250, 300. So I could have been drunk killing a bear on stage on a unicycle, but I still put asses in the chair. So I didn't get asked to come back because they didn't want me there. And then I think they even had less people. They had, only 250, 300. So no matter how bad you are, you still say, hey, Al, you know, let's reel it in a little bit. I know you're a little twisted. Why don't we get you to come back? Because I brought people in there for that year. So not that I'm bitter about that.
Clearly, you barely remember it at all.
They did ask me to come back again, though, like a couple years later to do like another show, and I thanked them, but I was like, no, thank you.
Now, he's got his own comedy club up there in Buffalo.
Rob's Comedy Playhouse.
I've been there mm-hmm. a couple of times.
He is funny. He does get some good acts. The comedian he got into the Palace for the last show wasn't funny.
Is his place still up there just off Colvin, or has he moved that?
I think it's moved now.
Okay. Because I remember going up there
Dandelions?
I don't remember. Well, we went up to the place that's on Colvin and to see Tommy Chong. And after the show, me and my buddy Bryce were just throwing quips right back at Tommy Chong the entire time. Afterwards, he comes. We're drunk, so we're trying to, you know, cool it before mm-hmm. we leave. Tommy comes over and talks with us. He thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of hung out with us. It was kind of cool.
It's cool. If you can be fun and respectful and kind of add to the show. When I go to comedy shows now, I try to do that. I go to Helium. I've been up there a few times with a friend of mine, Mike McCartney. Do you know Minnie? He was he's got to be 52, 53. I think he was a DeSales guy, played baseball with my brothers, but he's a kindergarten teacher and he wants to break into comedy. So he's been taking some classes and doing stuff. So we reacquainted and did a few things, but I'm a good audience member because I laugh and I can become the butt of their jokes when they need something if they're floundering. I'll just kind of look and, you know, I do like going to shows. I haven't gone to, obviously, in years I haven't gone except for last year when I reacquainted with Mike. I was there probably 4 or 5 times to shows, but I miss it. I miss it a lot. So maybe one day.
I'm a comedy aficionado. I love comedians. I love hearing them talk about their technique and stuff. And I honestly think I could do it, but I don't want to do the work. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, tour and sit and just write jokes for 8 hours and all the suffering they go through so that they're funny. You know, I have a good life.
You know what? And the biggest part for me is if I can just walk on a stage and start doing something, I'm funny. As soon as I get billed, then it's just bad. Then I'm just like, then I'm nervous and I'm in my own head. You know, I did a show, I opened up for Sal Valentinetti from, he was the guy on America's Got Talent. So he was in, I opened up over at, what's the Tonawanda? Not the Palace,
the Riviera.
The Riviera. So I opened up for sale for that. And that was a fun show. And that was, and I wasn't shit faced or anything. So I went in there and I did my 10 minutes and I was out, but that was nice. Holy cow, that was just too much time on a little walk down memory lane.
That was awesome.
Speaking of assholes.
What? That's your segue, you fucker?
It's a great segue.
All right. I'll give you that one. It was all right.
A former Kalamazoo doctor was sentenced to prison last week for reusing single-use rectal devices on multiple patients and committing healthcare fraud.
What a shitty thing to do.
Terribly shitty.
What about the people that requested it?
There's something about this crime that smells.
celebrity suppositories.
The doctor was sentenced October 29th to serve 4 years and 9 months in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release. He was also ordered to pay $883,292 in restitution.
To whom?
And have a used enema.
Man, I got news for you. For $883,000, you could just put about anything up my ass.
That's a loop. We have a price tag, ladies and gentlemen.
That's horrible.
He treated patients, mostly elderly, at facilities throughout the western part of the state, primarily in the Traverse City, Grand Rapids, and Kalamazoo area. It's been estimated that rectal pressure sensors were used more than 100 times before being replaced. These are single-use things.
Rectal pressure sensors?
Right. I have no idea what that means.
It's a finger.
Do you feel the
pressure? Wasn't washing his finger.
Yeah.
Just the tip.
That's why you can shit in a box now and send it via email or send it through the regular mail.
You have to write warranty on the side of the box.
Yeah.
I've got the time on my hands.
Crack.
So, Rich, what's happening in Canada this week?
So much. Cue the music. Canada Watch.
If your listening pleasure is Canada Watch.
Smell like pine trees in moose piss.
Canada Watch. Your furry hat matches your furry underpants. It's a design flaw or you need a trim?
Canada Watch.
Do you smell like beaver dams and old toes?
Canada Watch.
Your uncle looks suspiciously like an elk.
Canada Watch. Sure does get lonely up there in the Yukon. Canada Watch.
We have the polar bears and the milk in the bag, y'all. Canada Watch.
Hey, Gord. We still like you, though.
Canada Watch.
Tell us. Tell us more.
So we've talked before about radio disc jockeys that play pranks on politicians, right?
Yes.
Well, it's happened again. Russian comedians have pranked Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on a phone call during which he believed he was talking to climate change activist Greta Thunberg. Did I pronounce that correctly? Thunberg?
I don't know. I have no idea who she is.
How dare you?
She's the crazy eyes.
That little girl that went in front of the UN?
No.
And basically chastised adults?
Google her name again and then you'll see her face come up
remember.
You'll
recognize her, right?
Okay.
She's on every meme now.
They call themselves Vovan and Lexus. They released a recording of the phone call this week in which they counseled Trudeau about world politics and request a chance to meet some of the characters from South Park, at which point the penny drops.
They don't have pennies in Canada anymore, so.
They do. They just stopped making them. Previous targets of Vovan and Lexus include Elton John, who they claim to have fooled by pretending to be Russian President Vladimir Putin, keen to talk about gay rights. During the 10-minute call, a third person, playing the teenage climate activist, tells Trudeau she is worried about a growing international crisis in anticipation of the world war. It already leads to disaster, says fake Greta. It's very scary, to which Trudeau replies, yes, indeed. The call was made in January, days after the Iranian government shot down a Ukrainian passenger jet. She says, you're adults, but you act like children, which sounds like something Greta Thunberg would say. We can create a world where there is a place for everyone, for black and white Christians and Muslims, Trump and Putin, you and me, which is starting to sound kind of like a theme song. The last two names refer to Canadian characters.
From South Park, Terrence and Phillip.
Terrence and Phillip.
You go right for the clit every time, man.
Yep. Don't have time to waste.
We get paid by the hour.
What's wrong with a kiss, boy?
Slap her thigh.
So a diplomatic Trudeau responds, I also dream of a world in which soldiers are not necessary, but we don't live in that world yet, unfortunately. She then accuses Meghan Markle of manipulating Prince Harry after they've just moved to Canada before asking Trudeau whether he can introduce her to Terrence and Philip. I would be happy. I'll ask my team to try and figure out how we can connect you, he says, because I don't have their direct coordinates with me now. And it's when he finally realizes Terrence and Philip are from South Park. I don't personally know them. I believe they're South Park parodies of Canadians, and then ends the call. So
I'm sorry you pranked me. So sorry.
So sorry. You'll have to excuse me. My head's flopping about too much. In other news, there is a soy shortage in British Columbia. A resident recently shelled out $50 for a six-pack of soy sauce after a family Facebook bidding war, and she feels like she got a pretty good deal. A single bottle of Canadian-made China Lily soy sauce usually runs about $3 and is a staple in many kitchens in northern British Columbia, primarily in Indigenous households where it's often used liberally in traditional dishes such as yellowchon, I guess, and everyday dinner prep. Currently, it's incredibly hard to come by, and this is causing a bit of a panic among regular purchasers. Here, we're scrambling for toilet paper. They're looking for soy sauce. The sauce is crafted by Lee Foods in Toronto. False rumors the factory is closing. Could be behind why grocery stores in British Columbia's north have been cleaned out. Amazon has nothing to offer, and prices on eBay keep climbing. One resident caught the concerned chatter of locals on social media and contacted Lee Foods to find out why people were fearful their favorite brand was on the brink. A woman at Lee Foods said that there are no plans to shut down the family-run business. She said China Lily soy sauce is the next toilet paper in the COVID-19 pandemic. Probably tastes better, though.
Probably.
That'd be my guess.
Can we ship it? I get lots of soy sauce over at the Restaurant Depot.
Yeah, it's not this Canadian brand, though. That's what they're really going for.
Okay.
Can it really make that much of a difference, though? You guys ever gone to a Canadian restaurant in Canada?
I went to Wayne Gretzky's place.
A Chinese restaurant, rather?
No.
Happy Jacks.
What?
Happy Jacks.
Happy Jacks?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It's a Hoosong.
They're great. They're right across the border. Right on, what is that?
Yonge Street?
Yeah.
Yonge.
But Happy Jacks is nice because most people, we're so used to getting Chinese food in little takeout containers and dirty little places. But this place is nice linen tablecloths, beautiful.
Well, I enjoy the food. It's different than here, and I'm told it's more authentic. But having never been to China, I have to take the Canadians' word for it, too.
I would agree.
We've talked about it before. The Chinese food that they serve here is rendered differently
An
American palate.
Yeah, right? It's all so sugar and crap.
Got more fat, got more sugar.
That's why Panda Express is just now going into China.
Right, exactly. And it's not doing well because they're like, what's this shit? But they say it in Chinese, so it sounds, you know.
Loses a little in translation.
Probably gains a little, actually. One resident got lucky when some employees at the Coast Mountain College called her up to let her know they had a bottle and it was hers if she wanted it. But if you're not one of the lucky ones, don't know about a stash out of town, and no kindly neighbor has tracked you down via the national broadcaster to offer you a spare bottle, don't despair. Lee Foods is still in full swing. The company president said that while there have been some supply shipping and staffing hiccups due to the pandemic, customers can expect to see China Lily soy sauce back on the shelves within the coming week. Don't use it on beef and chicken that was bottled by some dude that you bought through the newspaper, because the Canadian Food Inspection Agency is warning against consuming beef and chicken bottled by a Prince Edward Island man. The agency said the meat product could possibly carry botulism. The meat's sold in 500 milliliter, whatever that means, jars with no labels and up to and including November 26th should not be consumed.
So it's a Prince Edward Island man. A couple weeks ago, we had the Prince Edward Island man who had the meat carved in his grass. and now or there's any connection.
It's a freak show over there.
Yeah. They got nothing else going on, eh?
Right. It's an island. I mean, you can only find so many entertaining things to do. But the man behind the bottles of brined chicken and beef maintains there's nothing wrong with his product. The agency issued its warning after it tested a sample of the bottled meat, and results indicated that the food may permit the growth of the bacteria responsible for botulism.
That'll freeze your smile.
That means it's healthy.
That means it's healthy, right.
Yeah.
Everything has the potential to grow botulism, but they're saying you can't do this on television? I mean, that's a very Canadian theme, but it's not actually...
Send us a bottle. We'll eat it right here.
No. Alan,
by we, he says
right here.
He.
Me and Walden will take care of that.
He'll put blue cheese dressing on.
We're going to dip it in blue cheese and hot sauce. Throw it on one of those Hawaiian dinner rolls.
Is it blue cheese or blue cheese dressing? And does that matter? Is there a distinction?
I think when I think of blue, I think when it's in Western New York, I think blue cheese is just the Kleenex of the blue cheese industry. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you, it's just,
no, I don't.
It's, well, you know how you said Kleenex can be a multiple different things. So people just say blue cheese and it could be just anything. So it's not like wishbone where you can, it's really thicker. So it's not like wishbone where you can put it on a salad, but I put my blue cheese on the salad. So
does your blue cheese also have mold in it?
Yeah, of course it does.
Then that's
yeah. Or as I like to call it, penicillin. Dr. Al, paging Dr. Al.
That's right around the corner from botulism.
It helps him with the syphilis.
Drip, drip, drip.
Since I started making my own blue cheese.
How much blue cheese do you have to eat to cure syphilis?
A tub.
Yeah. Usually 18 ounces should really bring the swelling down, and after about 24 ounces, you're pretty much on the road to recovery.
You heard it here first, folks. So yeah, they're warning against the potential that might someday maybe bother someone somewhere. I was more grossed out by the fact that it was brined beef and chicken. That's right. Pretty nasty.
Salt water.
That's it.
Yeah, they start talking about the symptoms of botulism, but I'm not seeing any clarification as to why they're concerned with this guy's meat.
It's fear.
Canadian though it may be.
They're instilling fear in people. Damn news.
FUD. Anyway, that's what's happening in Canada this week.
Do you have a website for us this week?
Of course I have a website for us this week.
All right.
Polkadotgame.com.
Fuck that. Jesus.
Let's see. Last week was pink trombone.
It's better than a rusty trombone.
Well, that's your
played
opinion.
By Dirty Sanchez.
All right. This week's website is stars.chromeexperiments, plural.
Focusing optics, fetching stellar data. Loading interstellar data. Welcome to the stellar neighborhood. Is this the thing that tells you how far out everything is? Take a tour. Just sit right back in here, a tale. Tale of a fateful trip.
That started from this tropic.
Poured aboard this tiny ship. This is our sun. It would take 18 years for a jet airplane to fly to the sun.
This is a cool website.
It is. The furthest man-made object, Voyager 1, is now almost 17 light hours away. One light year. These are the stars closest to our solar system.
It's not loading in Chrome for me, ironically.
Name stars that astronomers have studied are highlighted here. So how far away is the farthest one? You're seeing an actual density and location of over 100,000 stars in this view. That's pretty cool. Oh, now we're in the stellar plane. Looks like an egg. Blue, hotter burning stars reside closer to the galactic plane.
I mean, what the farthest they can tell, what is it, like 100 million light years away for some of these things? So
all of which are in the Milky Way, which has 200 to 400 billion stars in total. It's kind of cool. How'd they get the camera up there? Oh, go forth and explore. Click and drag with your mouse. This is our sun. I just saw that there was a solar flare the other day. Did you see that?
There's solar flares every day.
No, the sun has been through an unusually calm period, and so that the solar flare was sudden. Normally there's like indications that there's going to be a flare.
This was just a belch sneaking up on it.
Yep. It was a shart.
It was a shart.
Well, there's an 11-year cycle where it increases and decreases. Yep. So
So stars.chromeexperiments.com. It's really cool. I'm still confused as to how they got the camera that far out there that quickly. But the graphics on it are amazing. It's a really cool
this
website.
Is cool.
If it was easy, then everyone would do it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'll be tooling around with this thing. I love this thing.
It is pretty cool. I'll check it out. All right. So for Walden and Rich and Alan, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to Shenanigans.